Well, thank you very much for coming. Good morning. First of all, let me just disclose that I have no relationships to disclose. So today I'm really just going to talk to you about how my 6-week practicum with Asha in Delhi gave me the knowledge, skills, and the confidence to identify and communicate problems facing urban poor populations. And also, really how it inspired me to pursue a career in global health, specifically with children in urban developing settings. So before I arrived in India, before I stepped inside the cramped 6-foot by 8-foot spaces that sheltered entire families, I knew something. I knew that the urban poor population in India was growing faster than anywhere else in the world. I knew that in Delhi slums, more than 3 million men, women, and children live in appalling conditions. I knew that there was an organization called ASHA working to improve the health and welfare of these individuals, and that ASHA means hope in Hindi. What I didn't know rattled me. I didn't know the vastness of the slums, the fields of garbage, and the swarming flies. I didn't know that I would meet a severely malnourished child with a fatal disease that no doctor had been able to diagnose. And I didn't know that such detailed health records could be kept without a computer and not even electricity, which is amazing. So I'm going to skip over this a little bit. Arian talked a lot about ASHA and what they do. I will say, though, that the headquarters of ASHA were they were nestled right along the border of a slum called Ekta Vihar slum. And it was just, it served for me as a daily reminder of how poorly some people in this world live. So it was very moving every day to go to work. So what I did, this picture actually on the left is of Arian, not me. So the first few weeks, I traveled by rickshaw every day to visit various slum community centers from which ASHA operates many of their programs, which include medical clinics with part-time doctors, nurses, and community health volunteers. I shadowed nurses that were administering vaccines to infants. I followed community health volunteers as they meandered the corridors of the slum and took the vital statistics of mothers, new mothers, and babies. And I interviewed slum-dwelling men, women, and children about the health issues that really mattered to them and their community. So I took my experience in the slums and what I learned to sort of develop two basic deliverables, or two types of deliverables. The first was products to obtain funding for ASHA, things like grant proposals, letters of intent, concept notes, got a chance to do some budgets, monitoring and evaluation plans, which is great. And then, as Arian mentioned, I directed and wrote a short documentary film about ASHA's targeted response to child health issues in slum environments. So I gained a lot while I was there, too much probably to tell you in the short 15 minutes, but I will highlight a few things. So I learned not just about the specific health needs of urban slum communities, but specifically, and not just that children, you know, suffer from malnutrition, diarrheal disease, pneumonia, but also that tracking the health status of these kids doesn't take a lot of fancy equipment. In ASHA, when a child is born, that child is assigned a number. And from that point on, that child's growth and immunization is tracked by two ways, which we would probably consider pretty antiquated. A large notebook with handwritten statistics, and then a yellow report card, which had the statistics for the families. And the families were encouraged or told to bring back the yellow card every visit, and actually they did, which was pretty remarkable. I learned that health should not and cannot be treated in isolation. When kids don't have access to clean water, they can't thrive. When communities live in fear of being evicted or that their home is going to be bulldozed to the ground and what little possessions they have will be gone, they can't live in peace. So that's a big thing. As many of you probably realize, you know, things don't always work out the way they're designed to work, and that's been kind of a recurring theme today. ASHA's Well Baby Clinic is designed to immunize or provide access to immunization for most of babies born in the slums. However, not all slums have medical clinics, which means that, you know, not all babies will be immunized. And to close the gap, ASHA developed a mobile clinic, but unfortunately, it proved not to be very sustainable, so they couldn't use that. And a second example of how things don't always work out the way they should is ASHA had several programs to support higher education, so kids who want to go to college, but there was often the barrier that families didn't believe in the value of women getting educated, or they couldn't afford to lose that girl or woman that was working in the house and who was an integral part of the household. And then a really fascinating thing that I learned that I wasn't expecting to learn was that poverty doesn't always mean unhappy. And I realize that I'm speaking from seeing slums that were operated by ASHA, so they're slightly better than other slums you might see, but people are still completely impoverished. They have very little. And when we first arrived, I mean, we were greeted with smiles and the most generous spirits, and that shocked me probably more than anything else. I was really expecting to see a lot of devastation. And then in terms of skills, Erin talked a little bit about grant writing, but we didn't just learn to write grants. We also learned to ask the right questions that would pinpoint ASHA's funding priorities, and then sort of finding the funding sources that match those specific priorities, which is a skill all in itself, which I didn't even realize. And then how to be a proactive funder, how to be proactive in getting funding, and be more efficient in terms of finding which resources could best serve the organization. And then, as Erin also mentioned, we're doing all this with extremely limited resources. We had spotty internet. There was a mouse in our office named Bob that would show up. And we like to think it was just one, but I'm sure it was 50. And that we were constantly bombarded with sounds of the slums. They were just everywhere. There was a lot of distraction, to say the least. A really important skill was interacting with slum communities. And the first time that I went into a slum, I was offered a lot of food and just welcomed in a way that I wasn't expecting. And if you've ever been in a slum, or the last thing you really want to do is eat when you're there, because you're seeing things that you're not expecting to see. The smell is overwhelming if you're not used to it. But you know, I realized that not accepting food was a big insult. And the first time that I did that, I had to realize that the hard way. But from that time forward, you understand and can learn to read and interact with people in a way that's culturally competent. So I guess to summarize, in a public health classroom, I feel like we spent a lot of time focusing on what's wrong with the slums, what needs to be fixed in slum environments. And getting an international practicum really taught me that, you know, there's inherent strengths in these communities. There's this huge sense of community responsibility for one another that I wasn't expecting to find, and there's a lot of strengths within the people there that you could really leverage to build more effective and better health systems for the people you're serving. And lastly, you know, why an international practicum? It's one of my favorite pictures. So I talked a lot about practical skills and knowledge, but I think perhaps the most important thing that I took away was the sense or understanding the depth and urgency of health disparity in India and places like India and Delhi. I mean, the contrast between the very rich and the very poor was evident as soon as I stepped off the plane out of the airport. And because it shocked me then, I think I thought it always would. And I was surprised to find out that the longer I was there, the more okay with the disparities I became, the more it sort of became part of the background. It became easier to walk past kids begging in the street. It became easier to deal with that stuff. And I think I think about it as maybe that's how I had to cope to be there. But I think it's sort of a microcosm for a bigger, more systemic problem that we have, and that when you're not faced with things like that every day, it's the problem, you just think of it as a problem that's much too big and much too complex to really solve anyway. So that, and that feeling that I got from realizing that I was becoming less shocked by my surroundings, I think, is something I'll always, that hasn't gone away. And I think that's something I'll always take with me. And I'd like to thank you to Santander that funded the practicum, and thank you to Scott and everyone at BU, and thank you very much.